This is Caitlin Schrader. Today is June 11th, 2020. I am interviewing for the first time Betty Adams. This interview is taking place digitally from her home in Inkster, Michigan. And this interview is supported by Wayne State University's Reuther Archive. It is part of the Southeast Michigan COVID-19 Oral Histories Project. Welcome, Betty, and thank you so much for your participation. If there is anything at all that you don't want to answer or you don't want to talk about, please don't hesitate to say so, and we will gladly move on. Are there any questions that you have or concerns that you want to address before we begin?
Not that I can think of at this time. Thank you for having me.
All right, great. Then here we go. My first question is, what was a normal day like before these shelter-in-place orders went into effect?
I am a new mother and a student, as well as a full-time employee at Wayne State, and a student at Wayne State in the MLIS program. So a typical weekday for me would be early morning, wake up around 6 a.m., get my child together, get myself together for the morning, discuss plans with my partner for how we're gonna negotiate feedings and all that sort of thing throughout the day while I'm gone. And then I'd head off to work at Wayne State at Schiffman Medical Library. And I would patiently wait for interlibrary loan requests to come through, as that's my job, is to process them and fulfill requests and basically go deep diving for research articles that we have access to. And when I stay there until about 5 o'clock p.m. Start time for work is 8:30 a.m. and I'd come home at 5 p.m. My work week was Tuesday through Sunday. That has shifted, but typically my weekend would have been, or was, Fridays and Saturdays, so I'd have Fridays to be able to do like public things and not have it be so overcrowded, and then Saturdays to enjoy, you know, weekend leisurely activities. Yeah, I'd come home and then we'd either, you know, make dinner or order out or things like that. And, you know, just calmly try to get everything together in the evening and, you know, rinse, repeat, sleep, rinse, repeat.
is your little one in daycare, or is that something you and your partner have worked out where one of you is just always home?
That's something that my partner and I have worked out. I didn't want to do daycare. That was my personal point. And so when we were discussing having kids, it was one of those things that, because I was going for a degree that would be accessible to have a potential to be a primary income earner. That's the route that we've taken thus far and has worked out to where we're fortunate enough to where he can be at home the entire time with her. So if anything happens, it's an immediate contact of, you know, we know, you know your kid, you know your family best. And that made me feel a lot more secure going back to work and things like that after maternity. Yeah, but I do know of people who had daycare circumstances, and that's hit a lot of families hard. So fortunately for us, that isn't something that's really altered. It's just my being home that's altered, and it caused a big disruption to the day-to-day here, as well as to the day-to-day of my work environment. And here, I mean, at home.
Thank you. When did you first become aware of COVID-19, coronavirus? What were your kind of initial thoughts or feelings as the pandemic unfolded?
Yeah, so I knew about it long before it seemed like anybody else in the United States knew about it. I pretty much knew about it as soon as it occurred in China. We are not a family that watches TV. We're a family that watches YouTube. And we have our favorite news providers from all around the world. And it just so happens that we do follow Chinese news. And when they shut down Wuhan and had 50 million people in lockdown, I remember coming into work and talking to one of our security people. I enjoy talking with just casually, and him and I have a lot of similar interests, and one of them was world news, and so I brought it up to him. I'm like, did you hear about Wuhan? He's like, no. So I knew right in December, January, that it was all going off, and the potential rifts that it would cause, and I sort of felt like the chicken yelling, the sky is falling, and everyone just sort of wandering away, you know, and just sort of not paying attention to it. And I even remember emailing out, and I actually have it printed. I'm going to grab it for a second so I don't get the title wrong, but I looked for the actual statistical information that was available at the time and sent it through to the library, and it didn't seem like anybody really responded or like took notice that it was something that was coming down the pipeline and that we would need to be aware of. And I am only a library clerk senior, so I don't think that, you know, news coming from me is like the most important to people above me. But looking back, I kind of wish that it would have been something that we could have had a discussion around. And I think that moving forward is something businesses and libraries in particular need to sort of take notice of, is worldly interactions and sort of being able to predict or predetermine potential opportunities or outcomes of things. Like this, you know, if you see something happening in Italy, is it something that can potentially affect how we do business here, especially given the global economy and the global interconnectedness that we're living in? I think that's going to be one of the things that changes from now. But yeah.
Wow. I guess I never thought of looking at outside international sources, so that's really interesting.
And the report that I printed, that I sent to the library staff and printed, is from the Center for Disease Control and Prevention, called the Morbidity and Mortality Weekly Report from February 5th, 2020. And this was an early release of the initial public health response and interim clinical guidance for 2019 novel coronavirus outbreak, United States, December 31st through February 4th. So in February, I was sort of trying to at least give some notification that this is on our radar, that this is something, especially being in a medical library, that we should at least be sort of keeping our ear to the ground to. And there is a librarian who created a LibGuide, or a LibGuide, it depends on how you like to say that, for coronavirus after everything sort of hit the stay-at-home, or just before the stay-at-home was hit in March.
So having been exposed to the knowledge of the effects of this virus so early on, before probably most anyone in the U.S. or even worldwide, had any of your opinions changed? Is there anything that might have surprised you in the way events unfolded?
I wish I could say yes, but not really. Mainly because, like I said, I like to talk things out, especially big picture ideas like this of what can happen. You know, Risk, the board game, was one of my favorite games when I was growing up. So strategy and global domination type of ideas and things like that. I knew the power of China's structure, in the sense of how many students come from China, all around the world, not just the US, and things like that. So I kind of had an inkling that it was going to spread very quickly, and that if things weren't shut down, it, given how quickly they shut down Wuhan and put lockdown, and what extreme measures the government was taking. I mean, I saw a lot of footage and videos that are no longer accessible on YouTube. They are archived to various websites like BitChute and archive.org, if you can find them. But there's a lot of scary videos that were coming out of China that a lot of people in the US didn't see. And so the stay-at-home orders sort of shocked people, but it didn't shock me. And it also didn't shock me that now the work week has changed so drastically. Saturdays and Sundays, there's nothing. After 5 p.m., no emails are sent. It's very odd if you receive an email after 5 p.m. now, which is refreshing and nice. But it also is, it was something that I sort of made a light bet with. The guard who I was talking about earlier, I said, you watch in 2 weeks, if everything goes off in 2 weeks, I give it 2 weeks that the full-on 24-hour workday will be disappeared. And it did. It took two full weeks of being at stay-at-home orders when you really saw that change happen. And I couldn't help but laugh at myself that I was like, yeah, that was a good estimation. and it's been nice to know that you have that time that you don't need to worry about what other people are looking at or what they're trying to get in contact with you for, that you don't feel like you're either A, missing out, or B, not living up to what your job expectation is, even though you're not on the clock. I feel like that's a big thing that technology has put on our shoulders, is to have that 24-hour a day, 7 day a week work week.
That's really interesting. Thank you for pointing that out. I had not noticed that, so I'm glad that you had brought that up. Currently, as we are speaking, we have been released in Michigan from our stay-at-home orders. But can you tell me, discuss a little bit what it was like for you? How would the experience looked from your home being under those quarantine orders?
It was rough for me at the beginning. I definitely by no means am of high socioeconomic standing, and we didn't have a strong enough internet, and we were one of those families that would rely on the public libraries for times where we really needed good internet. And so if I hadn't worked for Wayne State University, I may not have had the option of having better internet. They pulled through and provided Wi-Fi hotspots for staff and also laptops if they needed it. Fortunately, I do have that. But they had just, they were trying to scramble to get people the resources they needed in order to do work from home, because it was changing minute by minute. I mean, I worked the last day of that we were open, and it was a Sunday. And I remember I was asked three different times in a 4-hour time frame to change the hours posted on our doors, because it was, the information was just coming so fast at what the what the orders were and what that meant for institutions like public libraries or even universities and things. And so for the first 2 weeks, I really didn't have much communication, especially not the ability to commit to communicating based on my own inability to have internet access until I was able to pick up a hotspot from the university. Which had its own full procedure where it was so bizarre. We had to drive up, and it was the first time that the freeway's been empty in the middle of the day. And by empty, I mean empty. No one was on it. And We drove up to the university, pulled into the back dock, and they rolled out on a cart the hotspot and a pen and a piece of paper on a clipboard, and you signed away, you know, saying that you'd return it and use it, you know, not break it, not, you know. And then, like, we called them when we were done so they could pick it back up, like, pull back in the cart. And, like, you didn't have any contact with anybody. I only saw the person roll it out. By the time I got out of the car, they were gone. So it was, it quickly became, like, ghost town. And I personally have only left the house in the past, like, since this has all happened, 4 times, and it's only been to relatives. So I've been thinking about that lately, like, wow, I have not been away from the family unit in over 2 months. Like, it's an interesting thing to recognize. And I'm fortunate to be able to have seen my daughter grow, to see her crawl and hear her first words and all of those fantastic moments. So I personally have enjoyed being able to stay at home, even though there is a big struggle that comes with time management and working from home. But it is something that the library system, I think, is looking into, altering the work week and allowing for even the lower positions to have that flexibility in their schedules. Because sometimes it's good for people to be able to have that option to work from home. And when it's done right now, it was explained to me, we aren't working from home. We're working in a pandemic. It's two different things. You know, working from home theoretically would be your child is in daycare, or you have the option to go to the public library or the Starbucks. You know, this is very different. This is you're so restricted that we can't compare it to a work at home day. And that was a really clarifying moment in one of our virtual discussions. Like, thank you. I don't have to feel like I'm doing this wrong, or like, you know, we've all had this wrong impression of working from home. No, this is not working from home. This is working through a pandemic.
Thank you for that distinction. That was, I think that's very accurate of what everyone's dealing with right now.
Yeah, if it wouldn't have been said to me, I would have still been like, why is this not working? but it definitely relieved some stress. And also Wayne State has been really good with understanding of people's circumstances, and that, you know, your work week, you're going to do the best you can when you can, you know.
Yeah. So you said you have yourself left your home 4 times, and that was to visit with family, correct?
Yeah.
How has running those essential errands, how has that been changed? Who is doing those types of things?
That one's interesting. Since my daughter has been born, I've been using the Kroger online ordering app, where you can order for cart pickups, you know, and you can pay online and everything like that. Because I used to be the one to go and get groceries. I'd take the hour and walk the store, get everything, and come home. And when I had her, that just wasn't feasible in our schedule. So I started doing online ordering over my lunch breaks, and you'd be able to schedule for the same day or the next day. The first time during the pandemic that I tried to place an order, I couldn't. It was full. Every single day time slot was maxed out, and I had to wait until midnight to place an order, because that was when the next order opened, like the next day option opened, and I had to place it. But the sales were no longer applicable. So I had no idea what I was getting on sale, what the prices would be for anything, because it had shifted to a new week, and we hadn't yet received the adverts for that week. So since then, I told my partner, no, we're not, I am not going to worry about that. We're just going to send you for the bare necessities when it's necessary. And that's been what we've been doing, is if we cut back a lot on what we are ordering, or not ordering, but what we're bringing into the house, food-wise, as well as, you know, basic necessities. And fortunately, we did already have a good stock of, like, diapers and wipes and soap and stuff. I had just bought about 10 packs of soap. We just got a whole bunch of toilet paper. And it was, it wasn't because of the pandemic. It was just, we just happened to find it on sale and decided to stock up a little bit. And so when people started running out of toilet paper, I actually remember offering it to other people in my network because I had, you know, and I knew that there were people who quite literally were on their last roll and were driving for hours in the morning, not being able to find it. And it was just so crazy to me, because it's like, that's the one item that we do not import. We have plenty of toilet paper in the United States. So it was really interesting that that was the one item that everyone flocked to. And hand sanitizer, but not hand soap. I don't know. That was my own personal quandaries on that. So that's where we've been with or getting groceries in the house. And it's been a learning adventure for my partner to see why I do the things I do when I shop. He's been making the same progressions that I did throughout my shopping time. He hasn't needed to do that same thought of, you know, oh, well, this one's on sale. Let's get two for one versus paying full price, you know. And he's starting to understand that better, which is, it's also refreshing.
What about visitors inside your home? Has anyone, or have you been comfortable having anyone in your home?
Yes, I have been comfortable with having people in my home. My daughter is almost a year now, and so, you know, if she was younger, I have thought about that I would probably have different standards for that. At first, grandparents were wearing the masks and everything when they were coming in, which I was fine with, but I also didn't, like, force anybody to do anything like that in our house. I am of the mindset that germs are friendly on the whole, and that I also knew of the statistics for children being impacted by it, that it was very minimal for children and at the time, and so it still seems that way, but the grandparents are of the age bracket that they could be affected more. So I was not at all faulting them for taking their precautions. But it's really been grandparents and one or two very close friends. We also don't normally have a lot of visitors, but that's because we just have a newborn and everything's crazy for the past year. So we haven't really opened our house in general to our own system. So that hasn't changed too much. We have had more visitors than I have left. I will say that, like, the grandparents will come over and babysit, or my daughter will go to the grandparents for visits. So that way we have some time that's just parents or just me at home, which has also been nice.
So I know we talked about a little bit earlier, you know, using technology and how that's obviously been impactful in how we have moved into working from home. But have you in your house used technology at all to connect with anybody else? To just kind of have those social interactions that most people haven't been having?
Yeah. I would say I have. My partner has had more interaction, obviously, with people in the public than I have. So I've been using Teams to talk with teams from office, to talk with coworkers and things like that. And I'm just an outgoing, like, bubbly person. And so it's been really interesting to not have contact with people for so long. I kind of feel like, not that I'm gone bonkers or anything like that, but just that I have a different understanding of myself after all this, in the sense that, you know, when you're forced to sit with your own thoughts throughout the day and you don't have those distractions of or advice or input from other people as you would in day-to-day conversations, that you sort of get a different feel for your own decision making and things like that. So it's been interesting. The technology, like I said, because of those first 2 weeks, I was behind on work by 2 weeks, and I was also behind on schoolwork. And at the time, I was taking three classes. It's the second time in my career as a student that I was taking three classes at once, and it was not a good time for the pandemic to hit in the middle of three courses that I had a good rhythm to my work and school and home environment, and then for that to be shattered and then not have internet connection for 2 weeks put me behind in classes by 2 weeks. Thankfully, the professors are very accommodating, and all issues have since been resolved, and it's worked out. I had all A's. I'm happy. But like, going into this semester has been also intimidating, because it's like, well, what happens if this system fails? What happens if this, you know, it opens up for a lot more potential risk, it being strictly from home, not being able to talk to the professors or go to campus and actually one-on-one speak to somebody. And even like trying to get in touch with banks or anything like that, it's been a torture, because everybody is now either using phones or using online. So everything seems backed up, and it's really hard to get momentum on any of your plans that you had pre-pandemic. It's worked out a little bit better now that it's been so long, but it felt like for a good month, it was just hard to make any progress with any projects or anything like that, even with technology.
I can definitely relate to that.
Yeah, I mean, if it wasn't that, you know, one person was having internet issues, it was that one person you couldn't hear, one person was freeze framed, one person had their cat on the screen, you know. The distractions are different, and also the problems are different. I've actually stumbled across a bingo sheet that was created for the quarantine, where it's like, in your virtual meeting, if somebody says, can you hear me? Oh, you're muted, you know, and you had these different marks that you can fill in. And it was just so suited, and it was so well created that I can't even imagine that it was not, you know, that didn't exist beforehand, really, to where the whole world could understand and relate to that meme and participate. You know, we all can play bingo at this point on that sheet.
Very true. Can you speak to how this pandemic and quarantine and the overall state of things has affected you personally or emotionally?
It's definitely put my nerves through the ringer. I feel like there's no time for you to really just take for yourself. in this situation, because all the things that you're used to doing, like I'm used to being able to go for a ride, being able to feel comfortable to, you know, go to the park, or, you know, to clear your thoughts sitting over a coffee, looking out a window at a, let's say the local coffee shop. So I guess in that capacity, it's been strenuous to sort of find a new balance, you know, especially so unexpectedly. But as it's progressed, like I said, I'm overall happy with how things have gone based on being able to be with my child for so long, and being able to have that extra time to see her and be able to just stop and enjoy her, even with the chaos going on in the world. It's been a nice distraction as well as a opportunity for me as a mom to really get to bond more and see what she's up to while I'm at work.
Have you been able to take any time for yourself or practice any type of self-care? It's been a very hot topic throughout this whole
Yeah, I've noticed that too, and I think it's rightfully placed. I just am so used to going so full throttle that like I'm the type of person who gets enjoyment and feels fulfilled once a project is able to be complete and be shown to the world and to see that reception of my work. And not having that option has been sort of an, you know, because a lot of projects got postponed or had to be altered completely in order for this to work. And so that was sort of, you know, that's what's been affecting my ability to like sit down and really take that time to do that inward reflection and really relax. And, you know, as much as it's stressed for us to, you know, look after ourselves and everything, I feel like I'm trying to juggle everything. And, you know, adding in self-care, it's just, I almost laugh at it in the sense that I'm lucky if I brush my hair during the day. It's just gotten to that point, but I will for sure schedule out. I will take a shower. I will do this, you know, as the day arrives. I don't do a lot of forward planning like I used to in the capacity of like, well, I'm going to go for a run or I'm going to go do this. which I guess reflecting on that is not the best tactic, but I just have my mindset on the graduation, on the last day of classes, and then I'm home free and I can relax and I can breathe. So even without the pandemic, I would have been struggling to do self-care. So I, not in the capacity of like brushing my hair, that was part of the morning routine. But now it's like, is that really important to do, or can I just hang out with my kid, you know? And then that in itself is some self-care too, of being able to just sit and enjoy her. So I guess it's, I don't have it as structured as I did before, because before I would be able to go for a walk around campus or things like that. Now it's not that way. Even this morning I had to take a 5-minute breather where I just sort of walked outside in the backyard and I just looked around and I'm like, well, this is fun. This is as far as I can go, you know, which is, it's not true anymore, but it still is because it's so fresh that you still feel like you're not allowed to leave, you know, like it's still frowned upon for people to just be out and about without real reason or, you know, if you're not going to the store, well, what are you doing, you know? But that's just the perception I have from sitting and watching the outside world.
In what ways, if any, has this pandemic impacted like some of your future plans? Let me rephrase that again.
That's okay. Take your time.
Has this pandemic affected any of your plans, either prior to today or looking forward, things that you were going to do?
Well, being that I'm going to be graduating, I was very happy with the number of job prospects that were coming through, and that has nearly ceased. Thankfully, there are posts every day I am seeing, but the number of posts every day has dropped drastically. And instead of like libraries or the information sector of the world, rather than them expanding their positions or like redefining them or, you know, opening more opportunities, it's now they're just replacing whoever's leaving, or, you know, even places are having positions be cut. So the job forecast is definitely changed. And I even contemplated spreading out my last semester to where it would be two, because I'm taking two classes currently for spring and summer. But I decided against that. I said, no, my plan was to have school be done by the time that my daughter's walking. And that is still my goal. She is almost walking. So we'll see how close of a timeline I have worked out. But, you know, I have less than 50 days now of classes. So that was one that I had to really wrestle with and decide if I was going to continue with my intended initial plan of schooling, or if I was going to alter that plan. And I ultimately decided, no, I want to stay, because luckily the whole program's online anyway. So that wasn't the change. The change was just the dynamics of where I'd be doing the work and at what times I'd be doing the work, the classwork. And of course, travel plans. I mean, you know, those were shot out the window.
Did you have a lot of travel plans, or just were excited about some?
Yeah, I was definitely planning to do something like to commemorate graduating, as well as my daughter's birthday is in summer, and we were planning on going to camp for the summer, but now it's sounding like pools, like public pools and even beaches and things may be closed. You know, so it's still day by day, which is a little frustrating and hard to plan with, unless you are planning just something that's very small or very, you know, remote.
What about past the summer? Was there anything, or was that just working on that job and career track that you're focused on after that?
Yeah, after graduating, well, starting now, really, I'm going to be applying to any jobs that pique my interest around the country, which was initially my plan, but that was sort of the goal. And then also, like, that would have opened up our options for travel too, because we would have been able to go and see these cities and things like that, or these potential places that we could be living. And that's changed, because now, you know, do we want to risk taking a trip to another city that potentially could have a COVID outbreak, you know, unless it is for sure a job opportunity. So
Is there anything that you really miss, or what might you miss the most from before the pandemic?
Well, I definitely miss being able to just do what I would like when I'd like to, and having, you know, those people in my life every day that I can talk to. There's been more than one email that's come through that says, you know, I miss talking with you. I miss our talks. I miss our chats. And that's a reciprocal feeling where, you know, it's almost like everybody who you've ever known got ripped from you at the same time. But it's not that you can't reach out to them. It's just, it's not in the same way. And that's just bizarre in itself that, you know, you can pick up the phone, but not much past that. And that's something I think that everyone has sort of had a hard time with, is just having the ability to do what you want when you want it. You know, a lot of people know and believe in the freedoms that we have in the United States, and feel like this was a big, big slap to all of that. And even though it is for a health standpoint, there are moments where I can recognize and understand where people are coming from who say, like, you know, but I still should have a choice in what I can and can't do in a day. You know, I think that social media has really made it to where people are shamed a lot more publicly, and a lot more broadly. And by broadly, I mean, yes, in a broad landscape, in the sense of the whole world can find out about you going to, you know, try to find toilet paper for 2 hours, you know, and things like that. So for me, it's just been hard in the sense of not having the community that you did in the same respect that you did. Because I'm a hugger. I'm the type of person who is very loud in a room, but likes loud people in a room. And, well, you know, that hasn't happened except for with my little one, you know? And you know, when people are loud, and I have noticed an uptick in arguments not only our own respective house, but in the whole neighborhood. Like, people are just getting frustrated with the situation and frustrated with the limitations that they have. And so I miss being able to have the option of doing what I needed to clear my thoughts. Whether that be talking and, you know, my little gossip circle of people, or, you know, being able to just walk into my supervisor's office and be like, oh my goodness, can we just talk about XYZ, you know, whether it's related to work or not. That's definitely been a hard sell for me on staying home. So that's part of why I have restricted myself to staying at home, because I would be that type of person who'd turn the car and sort of go, well, let's just take a peek down the street and see what's going on, you know, and then find myself like two cities over and be like, oh no, I'm not supposed to be here, you know, just out of the desire to be free. So I've put that limitation on myself, just so that way I don't get myself into either trouble or the sense of like, where people are thinking negatively of me by leaving the house. Does that make sense?
Yeah, absolutely. I can very strongly relate to that.
Yeah, and it's hard to admit that, I guess. You know, that we can have that, you know, one thing that somebody had, I don't remember how it came to my screen, but that we're all dealing with a level of grief right now, and that grief is, you know, a loss of what we had, and this new situation that's occurring that none of us know. And that's a fearful grief that we're all sort of dealing with. And although we're talking about it, it's not something that's actually being talked about. Like, we're not talking about personal experiences. We're talking about the COVID. It's always, you know, the pandemic and the global aspect of it, and not necessarily the day-to-day of what we're used to talking about with our people. You know, there's only so many times you can ask somebody, so how's your day, when you just spent it sitting on the couch next to them, or, you know, in the same vicinity. You know, so conversations have changed definitely within the household to be better, to where we're expressing ourselves better. And the arguments come from that as well, where you're learning how to deal with those frustrations together. And so I would not say those arguments are a negative in the sense of they're what we should be doing to get those feelings out, you know.
In this dealing with grief and all these emotions, how do you, or how would you like to see communities begin to deal with that? Because that is something that has affected everybody.
I'm sorry, repeat.
In this dealing with grief and all of these emotions, how might you like to see communities begin to deal with that and begin healing?
I think discussions like this, where it's honest, where people are willing to listen and share, and to be honest with themselves about what this has meant to them. I think that in general, overall, the whole world has had this issue where we've accepted social media into our lives, but we aren't using it in the best capacities that we should. We aren't using it in the sense of, give me 1 second.
You're welcome.
She needed some water. but we aren't dealing with it in the way that we should, and we aren't using social media in the way that we could. I'm not one who uses social media much anymore. That was long before the pandemic that I just checked out of it. I didn't like what people were doing with it in the capacity of, it seemed like either it was a public diary or a way to chastise people. And that could have been just the way the people in my bubbles were using it. But I just personally didn't like the negative and almost false veneer that it seemed was creating for people. So for me, it's just been, even now I just looked at it recently and I'm like, yep, nope, I'm happy I haven't been on it. And I think that people need to remove themselves from social media and have these in-person or one-on-one discussions rather than, and I know this is still technically a social media platform that we're using, but like I said, I think we're using it incorrectly to resolve the issues that we're seeing in the world. You know, we're not having honest conversations, we're having one-up conversations, you know, rather than expressing yourself honestly, you're trying to prove a point, or you're trying to, and that's not what it should be. It should be, this is where we're at, and this is where we want to be, and so how do we get there? And in order for everybody to heal through all this, that's what I envision would need to happen, is people would need to stop being to alter the way that they're thinking about how they use the technology that's in their hands, instead of as a look at me platform, more of a look at what we can accomplish platform.
Very well put. Thank you. Is there, as we begin to acclimate to a more normalized version of life, is there anything that you feel you'll miss from being in quarantine?
I think I would, I'm going to miss having my child with me all the time. You know, I've joked that she can come and hang out under my desk at work and things like that. And, but I think it's, I hate to think that this is going to be a new normal. And I think it's wrong for us to use that verbiage because, again, I'm just more of an optimistic person in that capacity that things can go back to a semi-normal environment and people can still feel safe because ultimately, I mean, just looking at the numbers of COVID and comparison to other deaths and everything, I'm not going to say if the measures were what made it happen or anything like that. I don't have a preference to, you know, try to be a fortune teller in that capacity. But if we all take a step back and sort of look at like the actual impact that it's had on our personal lives and evaluate it as if the media had no influence, how would we look at it? I think that would give us all a very different picture. If this was never mentioned on the media, how well would you have known about it? You know? So I think like, I think that that's one thing that unfortunately will have to change in order for people to not have the same worries that we had going into this one. I feel like there's a lot of fear mongering that we didn't need to buy into as a whole. And that's from everybody. It's not, you know, your own mind can create these narratives. So I'm not saying that it's all on the media or anything like that. That's just human nature that, you know, we like stories and we also all have these fears of death and everything and life changing drastically. And here it is, we're faced with everything. But I also think that everyone has sort of a grandiose opinion of the situation. And I think 5 years from now, it's not going to be, we aren't going to look at it as the same grandiose moment. I mean, personally for me, I think 9/11 may have had a stronger impact on me than the pandemic. And that's just me personally. But I didn't know anybody in New York, but I know the impact that it had on me and my life going forward. But now, like the pandemic, I can't see that this is going to change very much. And that might be the pessimist side of me coming out, that I just see things that it's going to return to a 24/7 work week, you know? And so I will miss those times of being with my daughter. And I will miss, you know, that 5 o'clock shut off, you know? Although before the pandemic, I would do that. And I expressed that to staff wherever I work. I work when I'm at work. I am on the clock. I clock in, you know, theoretical clock in. If it's now, I don't have an actual punch in, but I still have documented hours. And I wouldn't check my email when I got home. I am not one to, you know, unless I'm in that position where I'm a director or anything like that, it's not necessary for me to be a 24-hour employee. And nor am I being paid to be a 24-hour employee. And I hope that's something that we can take to the future, and that's one of the new normals. But unfortunately, I don't think that's going to happen. I think a lot of people, this is going to be swept under the rug for the new Fandango, the new whatever is put in front of us for whatever the next hurdle is. I mean, already as soon as the George Floyd incident occurred, nobody's talking about COVID, you know, in the same capacity that they were. Like, Dr. Fauci has disappeared from the news. In the same respect, the day-to-day updates aren't as well watched as they used to be. And so I think that really sort of set that mindset for me, where it's like, yeah, people are going to talk the talk that, yes, this is going to cause this huge change, and this is, yes, yes. But the actions are speaking louder to it, and it's not. I don't think it's going to be. I think people are going to reminisce about it in the sense of, you know, oh, this was the time in our lives, but I don't think the impact is going to be the same as otherworldly events that are going to occur. If that makes sense. And I know that's sort of a big answer to that question about what I'm going to miss, but I think that's part of it, is the 24-hour workday. I was never a fan of, and I will miss knowing that I'm not missing out on things. And then being with my daughter, you know, and just living through this, seeing how outraged people have gotten, and how, like I said, the way that social media is, you know, people can be, you know, put in front of your face for it, and you only know 2 seconds of what their life is or what got them in that situation. And then, you know, but that's what we all have to talk about. That's our talking point. And I think those talking points are going to take over sooner than what people are expecting, and that life is going to resume much faster than what they had anticipated.
I think that is a great answer. That's covered some of the other areas I was going to answer question. So thank you for that answer or response. What do you think has been the biggest challenge through this experience, either personally or systemically, however you would like to interpret it?
What was the biggest issue?
Challenge.
Challenge, yeah. What was the biggest challenge? Thank you. Adjusting to everyone's craziness. I think this really made it to where everyone's crazy sort of came out all at the same time. Like I said, again, based on their emotions, and we are emotional creatures, so I'm not faulting anybody for having those. It's just about, I think that's been an interesting challenge, is seeing the different side of people, you know. I have friends who do work in the service industry of, you know, the front lines that aren't being talked about, of, you know, stocking shelves and things like that. And they've told me some things about the way the patrons and people are treating workers. It's just, you'd never expect that in civil society. And it's just sort of shocking to me how quickly that facade dropped of people's civility toward one another. And that could be either respecting people's space wishes or respecting the stay-at-home orders, or, you know, all the levels of the order, whether that be the gloves, the masks, and having people turned away. I mean, there was the case in Michigan where the security guard was just doing his job, saying, "I'm sorry, but you have to wear a mask coming in here." And two people came up later and killed him over telling somebody that they had to wear a mask. Like, I, you know, that was heartbreaking, because, you know, he was put in this situation to uphold something that really is going against their right as a person to freely associate and shop in a business, but at the same time, it's a business that is owned and operating under these restrictions that the governor has put on private businesses. So I think that's a big challenge that people aren't understanding common ground. I think that was a big thing that I didn't want to be a part of. And that's also part of my decision on staying home so much, is I just didn't want to see that ugliness of people. And I didn't want that to be taken out on me either. I mean, I've already got enough on my plate. I don't need to deal with somebody telling me if I take off my mask to scratch my nose or something, you know, that I'm killing them, you know. The extremes of people is something that is a challenge. And even just neighbors, you know, seeing how they side-eye you for different things, like, you know. But on the plus side, I have been more neighborly. Like, I've seen that as well. So it's an interesting dynamic where the challenges are also, it's a lot of double-edged swords. And I think people aren't giving it enough credit for what it is in that capacity that, you know, there's two sides to every coin, and that there are stories going on that we aren't aware of. And there's reasons why people are taking the actions that they are. And whether we understand them or agree with them or not is irrelevant, because it's that person's individual right to choose what they're doing. And I think that's just one of those hard points that that people in general are having a hard time with, and realizing that each country is different, and they have different laws, and they have different things already in place before the pandemic. And for us all to be comparing one another on a global scale, I think is not the best view for us, that, you know, states and countries are still separate, you know. And so I'm happy that we haven't incorporated all of China's lockdown mandates that they did, because they were boarding people into their homes. But now they are doing some of the similar things that do go against our rights here, in the name of the goodness for people. And I think that's a challenge that people aren't giving enough credit to, that we are all different, that there is a reason why these different countries exist, and have come to exist the way they do. So that would be my answer to that.
Thank you. I just have one more question for you.
Awesome.
That is, just looking back on all of this, what are some of the moments that you won't forget, positive or negative?
Seeing my daughter take her first steps, and hearing her first words outside of mom and dad. She's been saying that for a while. And being able to just, you know, whenever I want, just go and say hi and see her smiling face, you know. That's going to be one of the hardest things that'll change for sure. Unless I find some way to like sneak her in every day, you know. But I think I'm going to try and not do that for the sake of my job. Maybe I'll have that negotiated in my next contract, you know.
All right. Thank you so much, Betty, for taking the time to speak with me today. Is there anything else that you would like to say or add to this recording?
No matter where you are in life, just be happy in the moment, and that you have that moment to be happy. I think that's the biggest thing that we can all do, no matter what we're facing and no matter what time we're living in, you know, try to find the good in things and try to recognize where our limitations are and where, what battles we want to actually fight. Because, you know, it takes a toll I mean, even staying at home takes a toll on you. So, and that would be my advice for the future for anyone who listens to this, as well as just closing remarks to try to find the moments to be happy and to recognize those moments when you're in them and to try to make every moment a happy one, you know, or one to learn from.
Wonderful. Well said.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for your time.
Thank you, Caitlin, for the opportunity.
It was great being with you today.
You as well. Thank you.